Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this beautiful June Sabbath day. Isn't the weather just great? This morning we have Gary and Vicki Sims with us, and Gary, we look forward to your message later. So thank you for being here. It's just great to see everybody this morning, and happy Father's Day to all the dads here and dads that aren't here, and dads that have gone to be with our Heavenly Father. Let's remember them and honor them.
Good morning again. We are so glad to have our visiting pastor, Vicki, his wife, is with him. So welcome this morning again. Let us stand and join in the call to worship, please. Come to God who gathered us in. We come to God who nurtures us like a father. Come to God whose arms are open and waiting. We come to God who welcomes and forgives us. Come to God who journeys with us. We come to God who sees us as we really are and loves us anyway. Come, praise our loving, nurturing God. You may be seated. Well, as Teresa says, it's a beautiful day. So, let us praise those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides. Let us praise those men who are to become fathers, and may they openly delight in their children. And let us praise those fathers who have passed away but live on in our memory, and whose love continues to nurture us. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, all of these people have asked us for prayers, so we lift them up to you, our great and faithful Father, who knows all, sees all, and watches over all. So we thank you for giving them your loving strength, carrying them through their struggles, whether it is health, finances, broken relationships, or just everyday life. We thank you today that you have adopted us into your family and made us heirs to your kingdom. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and may we always be free to worship you. We thank you today for Gary coming to share your message with us, and may we have open minds, open ears, and open hearts to hear. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. But if you'll join me for the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning, church. Larry, that was a perfect video. Thank you very much. Thank you. I am Gary Sims, and I'm a pastor of the Forever Grace Church down at Montmorency. And as I begin today, I want you to know that we've really tried from Forever Grace Church to help out this church. We've sent Gary Ishmael here, and he's going to be back next week, I think. Don't blame me for that if you don't like him. If you like him, then he's one of my best friends. So, and then Vicky's friend Terry Buddy, who's been with you a couple times, and so we've set her up to come and be with you, all of you. And of course, I call him the professor, but he's the Reverend Jack Scott, who's come and visited with you a few times and shared here. A dear friend of mine and my mentor, And he is seriously ill right now. Gaining a little bit each day. I was in to see him this week, and he's struggling. He's been quite ill. So your prayers are very welcome for him, because he needs all of those we can get. And he's a dear man of God, terrific man. So I want to begin today in the book of John, and I one of my favorite books, and my congregation would say, you say that all the time, Pastor, about every book that you talk about, but the book of John is certainly a book that I spend a lot of time in. And quite honestly, I tell people, when you're searching and you're not maybe sure about the Bible and you haven't really gotten into the Bible a lot, John's a great book to go into, because it tells us so much. And so frequently someone will come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know where to start in the Bible. And I will most always say, John. Just go to John and just start reading it. I've even told people, if you have a Bible with the red letters, that's Jesus talking, just read the red letters, because it's always going to be Jesus talking to you, right? So I'm going to be in John 20, 24 through 31. And if you would, please just bow your head and pray as we begin. Father, thank you for this time you've given me. Lord, I just praise you in all things today. Be with me as I bring the message, Father, that I believe you've laid upon my heart. Yes, an old messenger, just a country boy who was saved by grace. But Father, you've given me this message today for these people. May it be received in the way you've given it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I see a lot of familiar faces out here today, faces that I've seen for many years, and Larry and Cheryl Winger, and we go way back, maybe 50 plus years or so, right? Yeah, and Becky, and so many faces I see that I've been around and seen. So let's read this about John 20, 24 through 31. As I begin to do that, this is about Thomas, but you need to recognize that as I tell a lot of the congregations that I speak to, it's always good to go before the scriptures that you're studying and afterwards, and that way you kind of get, it's not taken out of context so much, because sometimes we pastors, we like to grab a nice little text that looks really good or is really fancy. But it's sometimes we take it out of context, and you have to be careful with that. And so I talk to people a lot about, hey, just work yourself into it. Don't be afraid to take that scripture and take it on a little bit further so you understand exactly where it's at. So you don't have this on the screen, but I'm going to start with on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, this was right after the resurrection, okay? Right after the resurrection, Jesus came to the disciples and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. All right, so if I jump then to 24, which I wanted to start with, but I wanted to give you that entry into it. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. 26 says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. God's word for God's people. Years ago, many, many years ago, there were two friends who were, they were driving in the country. Walter was sharing a dream with his friend Art. And as they drove off the main road out into a large, expansive area, Art wondered, where are we going? Walter, where are you taking me? And Walter began to say, I've got a dream that will take this land and will develop this land into a family attraction. But Walter said, this is going to run me out of money if I do all this. And I just wondered, Art, if you would just be willing to share your money and we could buy up the land around it, and then we could build hotels and restaurants. And Art is looking at Walter like great disbelief and doubt. Well, frankly, he was looking at him like he was crazy. Art says, what are you talking about, Walter? I'm not going to put my money into something. This is just expansive land. There's just nothing here. And Walter said, but it's going to be worth a lot someday, and I want you to be a part of it. Art said, I can't do that. It's just a crazy thought. So for those of you that are my age and older, you'll understand the name or remember the name of Art Linkletter. The friend in this story of Art is Art Linkletter. He was a TV personality back in the day, very popular back in Don and my day. We knew Art Linkletter as a TV personality. And his friend, Walter, you know him by Walt Disney. That expansive land that Art chose not to take part in is now Disneyland. Art had some doubts. Art probably lost a lot of money. I don't know if he lost it, but he could have had more, right? I know that's not a biblical story, is it? But it's a real story. It's a real story that where you and I are at frequently because we doubt. You see, I started on this little topic about 10 days ago. I was maybe less than that even. I was with a group for maybe a half hour or so. And in that 30 minutes, four times I heard the word doubt, or I have doubts, or I doubt that, or I doubt that'll ever happen. And I begin to think, is that all we think about today? I mean, this world's challenging today, right? Is that all we do? Do we just doubt? So I began to think about that a little bit, and I started looking and digging, and I love the book of James. I'm in James a lot. He's just someone who speaks loudly to me. And so I went to James, and James says in chapter 1, verse 5, he talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, now James is a half-brother of Jesus, so if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, I told you, James kind of tells it like it is. But he's telling us we shouldn't doubt. We should believe. You see, doubting can be a dangerous thing. For Art, it wasn't necessarily dangerous, but he thought if he invested that money, it was going to be just crazy. And I think about the times where I've doubted. When we talk about Thomas, which that video that Larry showed was just very, very good. Oftentimes when we talk about Thomas, we've labeled him doubting Thomas. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with labeling. But I tried to look up, when did we really start talking about him being doubting Thomas? But it was somewhere back in the 6th century. But we have this thing about labeling people, and I kind of wonder if Thomas was, if that was really accurate for him. You see, I think Thomas might have been a lot more like you and I than that label of doubting. Maybe it's more like questioning, curious. I really want to be sure. See, we don't get to see Jesus. These guys got to see Jesus. We really didn't get to see Jesus. We can't put our fingers in those marks, in those wounds, can we? We have to trust and believe and not doubt. Boy, is that challenging. Boy, is that challenging. And in the world we're in today, that challenge seems to me like it gets more difficult all the time. So I'm not sure that I like using doubting Thomas. I think maybe it's loyal Thomas. Maybe it's obedient Thomas. Maybe it's faithful Thomas. Because when I read this word and I get deeper into this word, I realize that Thomas wasn't the only one who questioned Jesus' resurrection. You see, when we take a look at Luke 24:10, we'll find that it says, now, we're talking about when the resurrection took place and when Mary Magdalene and the other ladies went to the tomb. That's where we're at right now. They went there, and it's in 10, it says, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So they went to the tomb, and they realized it was empty. And they, so now they're running back here to tell the other apostles what they witnessed, which was an empty tomb. And it says in 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. You see, it wasn't just Thomas that was questioning this. It was all of them. Really? I thought it was just Thomas because he's the one that they said doubting Thomas had to see. You know, maybe it was Thomas's tone of voice where he was emphatic. I will not believe it's Jesus until I feel, till I see, till I put my fingers there. I mean, Thomas and these disciples were told over and over by Jesus, I'm going to be crucified. I will come back in 3 days. I will come back and I will see you. I will be back. And yet, they questioned it. And that, my friends, is one of the things that we do as people in this world today. We still question whether Jesus, whether this is all true. You run into those folks. Maybe you have moments where you're questioning it. Maybe in this world, because this world gets so difficult for us to be in sometimes, with all that goes around us, maybe sometimes we begin to doubt whether this written word is what it says it is. I will tell you that there was a time when I questioned that. You see, my mom and dad took me and my two brothers to church all the time. We were raised in the Evangelical United Brethren Church in Otterburn, Indiana. And the Evangelical United Brethren Church, some of you know it as the EUB, united with the Methodist Church in 1968, became United Methodist. But the little church right across from the Otterburn Elementary School is where I went to church and was where my grandma sat. I knew exactly where my grandma sat every Sunday, and I could still hear her voice singing songs. You know, when you're raised in church. But you know, there's a difference. Did you all know this? There's a difference between going to church and trusting and believing Jesus. You see, I was going to church, even in my married life, I was going to church and I was helping out in church and I was doing things in church. I was helping with the youth. I was being a good usher. But I was in the corporate world there and then, and I was wanting to move up, and I was probably doing, I was in places I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have done. Which means I doubted the complete Word of God. Oh, I believed there was a God. But to have that close personal relationship with Jesus, I didn't realize I needed that so much. I had this really good friend, some of you probably remember Porter Paris. Took me by the arm one day and he said, "Let's go have a cup of coffee." Well, we had several times of having a cup of coffee. And he began to tell me about Jesus, about the Jesus who was a personal Jesus to him. A Jesus who he talked to daily. A Jesus that he walked with daily. A Jesus that had changed his life completely. And in May of 1984, I found myself on my knees at an altar like this. It was at the Boswell United Methodist Church, but I found myself on my knees, and I was on my knees, and I'm thinking, what? My question was, "Guy, why am I on my knees here? What am I doing?" It's the day I realized that Jesus is real to me. It wasn't just some guy we sang a song about. Jesus loves me. I sang that over and over as a kid. But when that real relationship with him came, it changed my life completely. Now, it didn't take all the troubles out of my life. And it tells you that. He tells you this in this word. You will have some troubles in this life, even if you walk close with Jesus. You see, I went through some dark times even after I knew Jesus. But the reason I got through those dark times was because I knew Jesus. And because he walked me through those. Thomas knew Jesus. But yet he questioned, didn't he? The disciples all knew Jesus, but yet they questioned, didn't they? You see, even in my life after May 1984, I had challenges. I ended up in a divorce that I didn't want. But yet again, those friends, those people that know Jesus gathered around me, the Gary Ishmaels of the world, the David Dimmicks of the world. And some of those names are familiar to some of you. They gathered around me. And that's when Jesus really began, God really began talking to me about ministry. You see, I kept saying over and over to him, "You don't want me. You don't want me." But you see, if we look back at the story of Paul, Paul was a brutal guy. Before he met Jesus, he was a brutal man. Jesus changed him completely. King David, David, who was the slayer of Goliath, the little guy with the slingshot, who was, God chose him as a king, and yet he committed adultery, he killed somebody, he had issues. David. But God kept forgiving him. He was a man after God's own heart. Doubt. Doubt gets us in trouble sometimes. It's easy for you to doubt your life right now. It's easy because where's God when things are going wrong? I talk to congregations all the time about walking closer with Him, and it took me so long to figure this out. I tell my kids this all the time, my grandchildren now, the closer you walk with Him, the more you will understand Him. You see, we can't just come here on Sunday morning for 45 minutes or an hour and listen to a pastor and sing a few songs and know exactly who he is all the time. It's not possible. I can stand up here and talk to you for hours and hours about Jesus because I'm that excited about him in my life. But until you make the decision to follow him and pick this up and read this and follow it and find someone in a group, in a small group, in a Bible study, in a men's group, in a women's group, wherever that might be, where you can focus on him, those doubts will take you into the world. And into the world is not a really a good place to be. How many times I've heard in the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks how much the gas prices are just killing us all. Okay, amen, I get it. I'm with you. Inflation is rapid. The country's not going real well right now with things. So we can gather those doubts up pretty quick, can't we? We can start doubting pretty easily. That's why I'm almost yelling at you today. I don't mean to be yelling at you today. It took me so long to figure out that if I stay close to him, I can walk through those days. I can walk through those challenges. I can do what I need to do. I just had a wedding yesterday for a young couple. Glorious young couple, and one of the things, I do some counseling ahead of time before they get married, and I said to them, you need to follow Jesus through your marriage, because if you don't, anything will distract you. Everything will distract you. A beautiful young couple, and I pray they do well. I was looking at this doubt thing for the last week or so. And I remembered Matthew 14:31. I went to it to refresh my memory on exactly how it went. This is where Jesus was walking on the water, And coming out to the boat where some of the disciples were in the boat, he was walking on water. And Peter realizes it's Jesus. And he wants to walk on water. Peter wants to walk. You know, Peter, he just wants to do everything. That's just the disciple Peter. He's just excited about everything, you know. He's the same one that cut the ear off the guy at the garden right before Jesus was taken, you know. Whack. Peter was just the mouthpiece for the disciples a lot of times. And he wanted to walk on water. And he did walk on water. Peter did walk. Do you realize that? Jesus walked on water, but Peter did also for a few steps. Until he realized, there's water below me, and the wind's blowing, and now I'm scared. And that's why in Matthew 14:31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, and he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I was sure Peter's answer was, "Because I was scared." Uh-huh. Just like some of us are. Just like some of us doubt. Question. So why do people doubt? Why do people doubt? Because we're always going to have struggles. We're always going to have challenges. We're always going to have those moments the world's going to crash in on us for some reason or the other. This church has been in a challenge for the last year. Visiting pastors coming in and out of here. And I'm sure you've had some really good ones come in here. But there's nothing like having your own pastor. There's nothing like having your own pastor up here that you can pick up the phone and call and say, "Hey, could you meet me for coffee? I'm having some really tough times." Or just someone you can be with for a little while, so you're walking with Jesus. I know it's got to be a challenge for this church, and I get that. Hopefully good things are on the way, and things are going to change for y'all. And I look forward to, I know Pastor Ben well, and he and I've done a community worship service together, and we've done a couple funerals together. And Pastor Ben's is a very, very nice young man, and I hope you'll use his wisdom. And he's a good young man. We doubt because the world caves in on us, and we can't allow it to cave in on us. We just can't. We have to keep walking with him, closer and closer. So my answer for you is to take care of doubt in your life is focus more on Jesus, more than you ever have before. You say, "Well, yeah, Pastor Gary, I've been doing that. I've been, well, you probably better double down, because this world's getting tougher and tougher to live in, and so you better double down and do it even more. Spend a little more time with Jesus. You know, some of you probably looking at me today and go, "Well, you're a pastor and that's what you're supposed to say." I haven't always been a pastor. Only the last 7 or 8 years have I been a pastor. A believer since 1984, but to do this kind of thing only for the last 7 or 8 years. I was in the bank with Becky for a while over at Farmers Merchants, and then I was in business on my own for a while until I realized that I was being called to be here to do these things, to speak to people. And I'm honored today to be able to come to you and share a little bit of what Jesus has given me. I hope today it's something that helps you walk through this week. And when you pick up that cup of coffee tomorrow or go to lunch and you're doubting something or someone or someplace, I hope you'll think about this message today and say, "Jesus, help me. I'm doubting. Help me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day of life you've given us. Thank you for your words, Father. Thank you for allowing us, Father, to be here right now where we're at, to know you, to follow you, to love you. Father, I pray for this congregation. Father, they've gone through struggles, challenges. But Father, I know your hand is upon them. And if today, just one thing, Father, that you've given us to allow them to think about the word doubt and what to do with it when it comes into their minds today, Father, help them, Lord. Help them, Father. Help them find just the exact person that they need in this pulpit to bring the good news of Jesus Sunday after Sunday and to share with families here. Lord, we just thank you today. And we honor you in all ways. And in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. For the benediction today, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go in peace. God loves you.